preach on Monday, and I don't know why. I guess it's because we have services in the latter part of the week, and the week gets heavy, and the scripture is always the anointing of Jesus' feet, which is an incredible scripture. But I've preached on it the last 3 years because I always choose Monday. So I am not doing that, so I apologize for that. I want to talk to you about Nicodemus. I think when we look at the Holy Week and the time of the cross, we of course know and understand what Jesus went through. And the song that Beth sang was very appropriate. Those were my thorns, and those were was my cross. He did it all for me. Very true. I think what we also need to understand in Holy Week is that it calls for a response from us. That we're asked to respond. Do the initials DTN mean anything to you? We have those DTN moments. Most of the time, they're a long time ago for me now. When you're sitting down with a girl for the first time, and you're maybe on a first date, and if she asks you the DTN question, you know, and if it's a first date, you're in trouble. The DTN question, of course, is to define the relationship. If right up front, you are to define the relationship, if you're asked one of those questions, you tend to run at a first date, right? Well, Jesus wants us to have a DTN moment. And that DTN moment, the ultimate DTN moment, is at the cross with his arms stretched out. And he looks at us and he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And he wants us to respond. He wants us to define the relationship. I think Nicodemus has a DTN moment in his first encounter with Jesus. And here's the scripture. It's the most famous scripture, part of the most famous scripture that you know. It's John 3. There was a man named Nicodemus who was a Pharisee and a Jewish leader. One night he went to Jesus and said, "Rabbi, we know that God has sent you to teach us. You could not work these miracles unless God were with you." Jesus replied, "I tell you for certain that you must be born from above before you can see God's kingdom." Nicodemus asked, "How can a grown man ever be born a second time?" Jesus answered, I tell you for certain that before you can get into God's kingdom, you must be born not only by water, but by the Spirit. Humans give life to their children, and only God's Spirit can change you into a child of God. Don't be surprised when I say you must be born from above. Only God's Spirit gives life. The Spirit is like the wind that blows whenever it wants to. You can hear the wind, but you don't know where it comes from or where it's going. "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. Jesus replied, "How can you be a teacher of Israel and not know these things? I tell you for certain, we know what we are talking about because we have seen it ourselves, but none of you will accept what we say. You don't believe when I talk to you about things on earth. How can you possibly believe if I talk to you about things in heaven? No one has gone up to heaven except the Son of Man who came down from there, and the Son of Man must be lifted up just as the metal snake was lifted up by Moses in the desert." Nicodemus comes by night. He's a Pharisee. He's a member of the 70. He's a respected Jewish leader. and he recognizes that Jesus is from God. That's his problem, you see. He recognizes that Jesus has come from God, and because he recognizes this, he knows it threatens his religion. It threatens his status quo. Because he knows if he were to approach him by day, or if he were to ask him questions at noon, or where he's teaching, or where he's healing, that the other members of the Sanhedrin would recognize that he has an attraction to his teaching. And so he comes by night. He comes by night because perhaps he can get to know Jesus on a basis that won't threaten his daily practice. He comes to Jesus by night, hopefully so that he won't be seen by the other Pharisees. And his religion wouldn't be threatened. Now, Jesus tells him that if he wants to be a true follower, then he must be born of the Spirit. He must be born of something that is beyond the earthly realm. And that's what Jesus tells us. He comes to us and he says to us, if you want to be my follower, you have to not deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. He demands a change in us. We would much rather put on makeup, but he wants a makeover. We would much rather come in and to the house and decorate, but he wants to renovate. He demands that we lose our life to find it. We must be born from above. We must put earthly things second place and heavenly things first, you see. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and everything else shall be added to you. But the problem is we like the everything else shall be added to you, but you see, you have to die in order for there to be a resurrection. Another way we say that is you can't have your cake and eat it too. And this is Nicodemus's define the relationship moment. Jesus calls him out into the light. From the dark, knowing that it will change all the relationships that he has, knowing that it will change how people view him, knowing it will change who he is, who he is vocationally and what he does and what he's always been about. Kyle Alderman wrote a book here recently. He's a preacher he preaches in a church of about 30,000. You'll see 30,000 people in Kentucky on Sunday morning, 30,000. And he was sitting in his sanctuary one day, in And he said, I wonder what I can preach to all these people that will make them come back the next Sunday. We know that the crowd is going to be a little bigger this Sunday, probably. There are a lot of CEO Christians around, right, Christmas and Easter only, who are not like you guys who come during Holy Week, but who only come on Easter or Christmas. And he thought, how can I say something that will attract all these people? I mean, do I talk about eternal life? Do I talk about the gifts of God that keep them coming back? And he sat there in the sanctuary, and the Lord put upon him a spirit that said, no, remember, the main message of Jesus was the message of commitment. That you're to be committed to me. He said, too many people in our congregations are fans and not followers. We're fans of Jesus. We like to put the little fish on the back of our cars, and we like to have the ringtones that are contemporary Christian music when somebody calls. I have one of those. And we like those kind of things. We like to be fans, but are we really followers? And the problem with the church is that we're basically a lot of fans and not followers. A lot of fans who come on Sunday morning and who cheer on Jesus, but when it comes to standing up for him, that we fall short. He said this started to inform his preaching, and so he started preaching the commitment of Jesus. And if you look at after Palm Sunday, if you look at that last miracle before you go into Palm Sunday, there's not any more miracles in the rest of the Gospels except for the resurrection. Because he's focusing on commitment in that part. And he said, I started preaching this in my churches, and I had a man who told me he was going to leave the church, and the only reason he said was because I don't like Kyle's sermons. And he said, that disturbed me, so I thought I would call him. And so he said he called him, and he simply said, hey, this is Kyle Eidelman. I understand you're leaving the church because you don't like my sermons. He says, there was a brief silence. I caught him off guard, just as I had planned. It was an awkward moment, and he started talking, rambling, really, trying to express what he meant. And somewhere in the middle of his lengthy explanation, he said something. What he said was not meant to be encouraging, but his words caused me to breathe such a sigh of relief that tears came to my eyes. I pulled over to the side of the road, grabbed a pen, and wrote down what he said. He said this. Well, whenever I listen to one of the messages, I feel like you're trying to interfere with my life. That's kind of my job description. Then he says this, but do you hear what he's saying? He's saying, I believe in Jesus. I'm a big fan, but don't ask me to follow. I don't mind coming to church on the weekends. I'll pray before meals. I'll even slap a Jesus fish on my bumper. But I don't want Jesus to interfere with my life. Jesus defines the relationship he wants with us. He makes it clear that being a fan who believes without making any real commitment to follow isn't an option. Nicodemus, at this point, is a fan. Kind of likes what Jesus says. He understands that he's from God. But he doesn't want Jesus to interfere with his life. It's kind of where we are sometimes. Change? Die to self? next place we find Nicodemus is in John chapter 7. And in this passage, the Sanhedrin has sent the temple guard to go arrest Jesus. And the temple guard comes back empty-handed. Verse 45 in chapter 7. When the temple police returned to the chief priests and Pharisees, they were asked, "Why didn't you bring Jesus here?" And they answered, "No one has ever spoken like this man." The Pharisees said to them, "Have you also been fooled? Not one of the chief priests or the Pharisees has faith in him. And these people who don't know the law are under God's curse anyway." Then verse 50, Nicodemus was there at the time. He was a member of the council and was the same one who had earlier come to see Jesus. It's kind of like John's way of saying, remember that? Nicodemus said, "Our law doesn't let us condemn people before we hear what they have to say. We cannot judge them before we know what they've done." Then they said, "They are the Sanhedrin. Nicodemus, you must be from Galilee." That was a cut, you see. Because we know that nothing good can come from Galilee, right? "You must be from Galilee. You're standing with this man. You're siding with Jesus." Ah, Nicodemus is moving from fan to follower, you see. You see, belief cannot be separated from commitment. It's kind of like the heart and the lungs. One is not good without the other. You've got to have both. If the heart is functioning correctly and the lungs are not, then you're in trouble. If the lungs are functioning and the heart is not, you're in trouble. Belief, we tend to say, is intellectual assent. And Jesus says 5 times in the Gospels, "If you believe in me." 20 times he says, "If you follow me." If you follow me. And I'm not saying that belief is not good, heart and lungs, but they go together. Nicodemus is beginning to be a follower and not just a fan. One last place. This is chapter 19 down to verse 38 in John's Gospel. Joseph from Arimathea was one of Jesus' disciples. He had kept it secret, though, because he was afraid of the Jewish leaders. But now he asked Pilate to let him have Jesus' body. Pilate gave him permission, and Joseph took it down from the cross. Verse 39, Nicodemus also came with about 30 kilograms of spices made from myrrh and aloes. An expensive proposition. Nicodemus is now siding with Jesus. He has become, he's made the transformation from fan to follower, you see, because now it is affecting him economically. He's beginning to give generously. Two men wrapped the body in a linen cloth together with the spices, which was how the Jewish people buried their dead. In the place where Jesus had been nailed to a cross, there was a garden with a tomb that had never been used. The tomb was nearby, and since it was time to prepare for the Sabbath, they were in a hurry to put Jesus' body there. Tradition holds that Nicodemus, in the first century, was a martyr. The faith. No longer was he just a fan, but a follower. Now, it is not, I do not doubt that anybody here is not a believer. because we are believers. And maybe we are in that seeking stage like Nicodemus. The Lord wants us to be transformed into the likeness of Jesus so that we are a follower of Jesus. And as you go through Holy Week, as you hear the story of the betrayal and the denial, the scourging, give us Barabbas. Crucify him to the it is finished. Ask yourself, do I want this man to interfere with my life? Do I want this God?